Afternoon, Jules fans, and welcome back to Jules and the Blood Injury Time. We're not at HQ this week. We are on the road. We are en route to the first home pre-season game against Charlton. Joined by Mr. Matt and Mr. Boz. How you doing, boys?
Very well, thank you. Very warm because we've got all the windows shut for increased sound quality, so we're all a bit sweaty.
Boz,
Boz is a little bit hungover.
A few drinks last night.
So did you, but I'm definitely the worst for wear.
Some of us have been out and been to football, whereas you've just sat in your pants all day.
Yeah, so some of us have just monged out.
Busy Ribenas.
Yeah. So, boys, first time pre-season game, but since our last pod recording, we've had away games against Folkestone and Dartford, where we run out 4-0 and 2-1 winners.
Correct.
We didn't go to either, but from the social media and match reports and stuff like that, what have you made of it?
Folks, and obviously the result was good, not good reports. Dartford seemed like a good result. I've seen Paul Rayner come out afterwards, didn't he, and said he wasn't happy with some of the defensive work, but they were a step up in opposition in class. Obviously today would be another step up, so it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think that sums it up about right, doesn't it, to be fair. It looks like we're going the right way in terms of each game is getting harder and harder. We've got Faversham, who quite frankly were an abomination, weren't they? They're nowhere near the level that they have been in previous summers. Folks sort of step up, the division up from what, and it, again, it was probably a little bit harder without the ball, but we've scored four good goals, and then Dartford was another step up Tuesday night. By all accounts, it seems that
really good goal by list
defensively,
as well.
We were a little bit suspect at times. I think there was a couple of tweets about Connor Ogilvie. I'm not going to read too much into it. I mean, people are digging him out, mindless for me. It's a pre-season friendly. Christ, they played what, 75 minutes each? We're having a pop, that's just daft, but winning breeds confidence. I think it's 3 out of 3, so.
Another one getting dug out, I saw against the Folkestone, was the trialist left back Joe Scars.
Apparently he's been told he's not coming back.
He's had an injury apparently, so I can't see that we're seeing today, and that's probably the end of it.
A couple of reports from people there weren't exactly glowing, were they? And I know Louis Hart,
I think Evans said that he's not played for like 8 months though or something, so you can understand he's going to be a bit rusty, but.
One trialist that did do well was Mikael Mandron.
Mikael Macron, according to some members of our Facebook page. He scored against Folkestone.
Yeah.
And missed about 3 or 4 chances against...
Did we not... apparently we changed his role, didn't we?
Yeah, they changed the formations for the games. They wanted him to be more of a target man for the Dartford game. But it's hard to give an opinion when... You haven't been there, but.
And whether he'll be involved today, we don't know yet.
I hope he is. This is what I was.
But weren't we told he was only going to be on trial till middle of the week, wasn't it?
Yeah, but also Evans said that was him coming in was dependent on this bid being accepted or not for this unnamed higher league striker, and we had no news on that. So I wouldn't just give up on him now if that's taking longer than we want or is not happening. I said on the vlog that I put out the other night, and I don't know what your thoughts are, boys. I think if we can get in a Samuel or a Walker or a Jason Cummings, which was a name that suddenly came about late on Thursday, and another one was Josh McGinnis and Tom Elliott. I'm not as fussed about them.
See, I'd take Elliott.
I'm not saying I wouldn't sign him. I just think that in terms of age and the fact that they don't score loads, unless we're bringing McGinnis in and he's going to double up as a striker and a backup keeper.
But, could do it, to be fair.
I wouldn't be against, if we have to get one of the others in on big bucks, whatever that is, and then take a punt on Mandron as the fourth choice, the fourth striker.
Yeah, we were talking on Thursday night, weren't we? At Darts on Thursday, we were talking and saying, if it's a case of bringing in the likes of McGinnis on big money, or Mandron, who's younger, probably want to want less money, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, because I don't think either of them are going to score 15, 20 goals in League One. No. I think you're going to be looking at sort of 7, 8, 10 goals.
It's more like the work they do for the likes of Hanlon and List, isn't it? Yeah.
So, I don't see the point in spending what? 150k, say, for example, on a striker that's only going to get you 5 league goals. If we can get one in that potentially do that for fuck all wages and no fee.
Yeah. So that's our opinion. What about you?
Stop you sending a text.
No, I'm looking for all the other stuff to talk about rather than. I thought we were keeping this bit low, but whatever. Feel free to crack on.
I'm just answering your question, but get on to the subject then if you like.
Well, I was going to move on to catch the competition, but before that, I just wanted to mention it's the craze at the moment, but the face setting.
Yes.
I thought we looked very good.
You look so much like Uncle Albert.
You lot, which was
I look like Phil Mitchell.
You look like real Richard Branson in a couple.
I David, a really shit David Bowie. You he looked like Mike Gay. That was hilarious. I actually Googled
I'm not going to lie, I had to Google Mike Gay and see who he was.
He also looked a little bit like the Fat Controller with facial hair.
No comment.
Right, so the caption competition this week was...
It was a good one.
Picture from 2014,
I want to say 13, 14.
I didn't think of anything. I didn't comment. I've been thinking all week. I just couldn't think of anything. So
there's a picture of Boz. We was in Barcelona at the time, weren't we?
We were. Just yeah, before Christmas, weren't we?
Before Christmas, took a trip to the Nou Camp, taking a cup game and done the stadium tour.
Who fell asleep towards the end of the game?
Boz fell asleep.
Might have missed the last goal.
I've fallen asleep at Jules games before, nearly, but for very different reasons.
I mean, it's not like there was enough goals.
No, it was only 8-1, wasn't it?
9-1, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a few comments. There's you basically on an underground next to a blow-up doll.
Do we need to explain the situation with a blow-up doll?
You can explain it.
Well, it wasn't like we just got a blow-up doll and took it away.
Well,
one of our friends who's now expecting a baby at the time was... we used to joke and say he was under the farm, didn't we? And when we mentioned it to him, he said it was too close to Christmas, she wouldn't let him. So instead we decided to get a blow-up doll, dress it up as him and tell Spanish waiters that he was... basically resting in peace.
I thought it was just you two were really fucking early with your stag, though.
No,
it wasn't
just
that.
To
So we had a few comments. Dave Gay said, always thought Boz had a fan. Don't bite it, stop it, otherwise the thing will leave the ground, the underground before you. And that was the only one on Facebook.
There's a couple of good ones on Twitter.
Facebook's been quiet.
So Mike Gavin, he left us hanging
over about 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days. He wanted to make sure that our friend hadn't died.
But some memorial in Spain.
Some kind of morbid
tribute to our dead friend.
Dressing, putting his face on the shirt.
What have we just driven past? Have we just driven past 1875?
What was it?
It was on Tudor Farmer.
Just need some
goats. I can't dig him out for having a flat caps, because flat caps are all the rage and all the cool people wear them, of course, but.
Did someone say he had breeches on?
It looked like he was wearing breeches. I don't even know what breeches are, but they sound really old fashioned.
Basic.
They look really old trousers.
Is he a basic breech?
But I'm bunch.
Anyway. Mike Gammon. So his comment was, his caption, when Rich wore pink to make the boys wink, little did he think that Boz would take his stink.
That is absolutely disgusting. Don't ever have a go at me for lowering the tone on this podcast again, Mike. That is rotten.
Speaking of...
I was going to say, hang on, I can see who's coming next.
Yeah.
Is it Myers Co? Ellie, close your ears.
He's been quite...
it's reserved to him, isn't
quite
it?
Quite reserved, yeah. Boz finds a new way to smuggle Shreddies into Spain. Hashtag Shreddies are like.
They are like.
A serial trafficker.
Serial, literally.
Literally,
does it all the time, and that's what they are. Lovely stuff.
Speaking of Shreddies, Boz, how many boxes are you on now?
I'll be honest, I'm down to three.
Whoa!
I may need to take a shopping trip.
Oh, wow.
Because are you only going to last a day, are you? Yeah. Three boxes. That's a pre-bit.
I had to count up yesterday. If all that cupboard's empty, I better go to the other one. There's only three left.
A manageable number for you though, Stocky. I suppose you can actually buy food for yourself.
Yeah, I can get some of my own food in the cupboard.
Before Oz fills the cupboard up with Ribena and snack chicken.
Oh, 80s Hog, his comment was simply, I've pulled.
Yeah, fair dues.
Ligament.
Louis Watts, when you have an extra ticket to a Jules game but struggle to give it away, .. problem solved.
We've all been there.
I think that sums up the atmosphere.
Yeah.
They'll probably make more noise at our ground sometimes.
Oh.
Louis Watts also said, when you get dumped just before Valentine's Day, but I've already made the plans and spent the money.
That's something you do at all. You and your little
I wouldn't want to lose the money.
And then, last one is from Dart's friend
Ash.
Who put, don't worry, Jim, I'll be gentle.
Okay. Is that a reference to our friend James?
I'm not sure whether it's him or whether it's a reference to Friday Night Dinner, Jim.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I thought you two, knowing him better than I do, would understand it.
He's just got a flappy mouth, to be honest.
Clearly not.
A dirty fringe.
Right. Anything else to add?
I couldn't think of one this week. I was pretty disappointed in myself, to be honest.
What shall we go with next? Because my
We're freestyling today, aren't we? We're freestyling.
Well, my Dutch correspondent has been in touch again, and he knows why Tom Eves went.
Well, I think we need to, what do we need? A bong?
Yeah, a Dutch bong.
All the way from Holland. Let's have some transfer rumours.
Right, well, this one is why Tom Eves left. So
facts.
Got a bit of news regarding Tommy's and why he moved to Hull. Mrs. G was on the Pro Celebrity Pilates course this week, partnered with Tom O'Connor from Crosswicks.
A what, sorry? A Pro Celebrity Pilates course?
This week, partnered with Tom O'Connor from Crosswicks. I don't know what that is. On the next map was former pro footballer Frank Worthington with his partner, who turned out to be Tom's auntie.
Violet.
She remembered Mrs. G from a previous encounter, so they had a good old gossip. Earlier this year, Tom went on a stag do and ended up in Spiders nightclub in Hull. He had a bit too much to drink and slept on a park bench. On the way home on Sunday, the party stopped at a pub on the Analby Road. Not sure if that's pronounced right.
Close enough.
One of those that has Jack the Rippers at lunchtime, and they pass around a pint pot for you to chuck a quid in.
Beautiful. Sounds romantic.
So anyway, they also had a meat raffle, which Evesy won. £6 sausages, £2 of bacon, a kilo of mince, and 2 chicken breasts. Now, the small print stated that in order to claim the meat, the winner had to live in Hull or prove a tie to the local community. So with his contract up, Tom approached Hull City and asked to be taken on. The rest is history.
So it's basically that nonsense what we've read in the press that Grant McCann's a big fan and thinks he's going to score a load of goals. Tom loves a mixed grill.
Yeah.
I think Mrs. G and Auntie Violet, she says maybe it's a regular coffee morning. Make it a weekly thing.
Yeah, well, I wonder where they're now living after Dutch went
that
quiet
last
week after we spotted Auntie Violet on the island.
I'd say it's not in your bin.
No, there's a lot of bottles in our bin at the moment.
Yeah.
Also got two, I know we've been speaking about road trips for the last 85 weeks. Well, I can't help it. Scoop,
it is Scoop,
Scoop sent us two.
Scoop.
And they're quite long and they're quite good. So I said that
long?
I'd read them out. Look how long that
was. Wow.
Right, so the first one. Accrington away in the FA Cup in 2010. What are you doing?
I was just seeing what we was up to. That's what I was doing. It was so
nearly 12 minutes.
I thought you was worried that he hadn't pressed record.
No, you was being all belligerent. It's going to be quiet,
wasn't it?
Belligerent. Buzz thinks you can get a cream for that.
Belligerent.
Sounds like some sort of a rash.
2 weeks ago. I got signed off work with it. I've got a belligerent.
Anyway, back to Scoops. We're talking about Scoops now. Accrington away in the FA Cup in 2010. Got the train from London to travel up when we got to Crewe and the game was called off. Fuming as they were, we rang around trying to find a game that hadn't been called off and found one, Wigan against Hull in the FA Cup. His uncle refused to sit with the Wigan fans due to his hate for John Benson, who was the manager of Wigan during the 2000 playoff final.
He was.
Scoop said, as you can tell, my uncle doesn't hold grudges. It had only been 10 years. Anyway, they got to the game. And it was the record, and it's the record held for the lowest attended FA Cup game between the two top flight teams, 5,000 attendance. Giovanni scored a hell of a free kick and finished 4-1 Wigan. Train home took 7 hours due to snow. Crowded train due to the previous three trains being cancelled from Edinburgh. People vomiting everywhere. Pretty much a scene out of 28 days later. And then I think this one is even better. Look how long this is.
I mean, that's even longer.
Christ, I'm scrolling all day for this one. Right. Take a deep breath. Strapping everyone. Second one, Peterborough away in 2015. The Scoop Stag Do. Drove up to Norwich for a stag weekend. 18 of them.
What, 18 weekends? Jesus.
They stopped in the cars and headed off.
So Peterborough away that season on a Tuesday? That's hardcore. Stagging it on a Tuesday.
Well, I think it gets to that. We'll see. We were making good time to get the 11 a.m. train from Norwich to Peterborough. Got to the A11 roundabout in Norwich, to which I stopped the car. All of a sudden, bang. The car behind went straight into the back of my Astra and completely caved the rear end in. In brackets, that's what she said.
Hey.
Anyway, got out of the car to see if the person behind was all right. She was 8 months pregnant in a company car with a friend and child with special needs. An ambulance, fire engine and police all turned up. All my mates were there, clearing bits of the car off the motorway, mostly the car that drove into me. All of a sudden, the police came over to me and said, "We need to breathalyse you." Which straight away, my mate standing next to the police officer goes, "How many did you have last night?" As you can imagine, wasn't in a playful mood, so told him to fuck off. I began shitting myself, thinking, no licence, no job, no what? All the pink adverts. The copper pulls out the breathalyser. The copper pulls out the breathalyser and starts to set it up, just getting ready to give it a good blow. In brackets again, see what I did there. The copper pulls it away and said, this one's expired, going to have to get another one. In the meantime, move the car to the roundabout and move it round to the car park. So there I was, contemplating my life in jail. The rest of the stag turned up in the car park, tooting the horns, hanging out the windows, going, stag, 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 to which the police were following. Anyway, police arrived and I asked, is the car all right to drive? To which they replied, fine, we're all done here, have a good stag. Police lad didn't breathalyse us and told us to crack on. We ain't even got to the game yet. Anyway, no.
Oh my goodness.
Got to the hotel, sorted insurance. Let's start the stag. Hour and a half train to Peterborough with no seats. Left standing in a small section of the carriage just drinking. Sweaty bollocks and all. Anyway, got to the game. Everybody in the stag had a ticket apart from me. Left my ticket in the fucking car.
You idiot.
Bought one off a randomer as couldn't get them on the day. Good game, great atmosphere, and a Deji Oshalaja goal, but ruined by a late John Taylor equaliser.
Oh, yes.
Anyway,
2015-16.
Yeah, got the train back dressed in football boots, Sondico's.
Nice golf.
Of course.
Not the most comfy of footwear. Got to dinner, couldn't eat a thing due to dehydration. Ended the night vomiting in the restaurant and hotel room. All in all, great stag.
I was going to say, bumped into a police officer in the crowd who said he got a free ticket. They found it, someone's abandoned car.
And he also wanted to add a disclaimer, he'd only had a bottle of Bud the night before, so he wasn't drink driving.
Well done.
So there we go, that is the story.
That was long though.
That was very long.
And that is officially the end of the road trip subject. So if you send us any more now.
We're not reading any more out.
Not so.
Unless they are very long and funny. In which case we probably still won't
read
them.
You're like a bird, aren't you? You're trying to get rid of her. Call me.
Don't leave me. Right, I think we're going to leave it there for now, chaps, because we've got plenty of goals to discuss later. I'm looking forward to this week's topic. Probably been
the biggest response.
Yeah,
isn't it?
People have chucked loads in.
Non-obvious goal celebrations.
Yes, yeah. Non-obvious ones. So
there is some really good ones.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to having a right old discussion about that later. So for now, we'll end it there. And
yes, we shall
bring
be back.
We've
got to get our professional heads on for Match Day Live.
Woo! Right, this week's subject was goals, goals, goals. The less obvious ones that got us all out of our seats and going crazy. Boys, we got loads of response on this.
Really
looking forward
this
to this.
Yeah, it's been nice reading from you. Sort of remember them and go,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think all of my top three have come out from different people.
Yeah. So what we do, we run through them and then we can interject
at any
point and give our own thoughts and opinions on that certain goal as well. So we crack on with the Facebook comments first of all. First one, Cole Stevens, Cody McDonald, first Wolves and Sky on my birthday to win 1-0. What a Tomlin goal to make it 5-4 against Hereford.
Remember the Cody one? We got back
Cody,
95 minutes, hadn't we? They won the league.
They were top of the league flying,
smashed one in from about 5 yards. Typical Cody goal, in fairness.
Yeah. Gary Wade, who also said the winner against Hereford in the 5-4 game, he was sat next to Matt Cole in his press box and he almost fell over the desk and properly lost it. Good limbs.
Good limbs.
Good limbs.
Yeah. Gary Brad, Danny Kedwell against Wimbledon, scored an absolute peach top corner the season we won League Two. He said it was a dark midweek game, so
I'm with you. I think he's got the wrong game there.
Yeah, so
it's Wimbledon was a Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, we drew 2-2.
A couple of home games from the end of the campaign, yeah.
We've got Steve Joyce, bank holiday Monday, 26th August 1985, away at Bristol City. Spent the game at the back of the stand trying to be incognito amongst the City fans until the final minute when Tony Cascarino danced. Yes, danced through one-on-one with the keeper before neatly slotting the winner. At this point, I found myself about four rows further forward, screaming my head off next to this bloke built like a brick shithouse, looking like he wanted to kill me. Almost died that day, but it would have been worth it. Stephen Udall. One from last year, Elliot List goal against Cardiff.
I put that in mind. That was
we went absolutely mad.
My voice went very high pitched that afternoon.
Some of these might be repeated, but Che Wilson, nothing, and I mean nothing beat Super Bob's winner against Fulham.
Oh, I was there that day. That was a belter. That was the year after that Fulham fan had been stabbed to death, and I think my mum and dad had said they didn't want me to go, and I just said I'd gone out with mates, and I went anyway. It was the first game we'd played against them since that had all happened. And
don't do that, kids.
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do, and all that type of thing. And really even game. I think they won the league that season, and John Hodge skate down the right about a minute to go right in front of the old Rainer men, and he rose like a phoenix from absolutely nowhere in front of his centre half and just thumped his header into the middle of the net, and the whole place went absolutely fucking ballistic. It was brilliant.
Sam Williams next
one. And then I think I got grounded for a week because they found out I went.
Worth it, I
100%.
Worth it. Sam Williams, Tigerland's goal against Arsenal at Highbury.
Yeah, and then caused them to bring on all the big boys, didn't he, after that? The old Omri's and the Perez's.
Nathan Bolton, Doug Loftus to equalise against Southend at home. They were giving it all game, and a fluky equaliser was so, so sweet.
It was like a high cross, wasn't it? Yeah.
Remember the one when he scored against Colchester?
Colchester journey.
Shut me up. I abused him all game. Then I fell down the Rainer men, didn't I? Trying to climb steps.
Rick Brown, Halifax in a relegation decider.
I was there for that, and all 93. Cool, blimey, that was tense. I was only 11 at the time.
Andy Wheatley, Terry Cochran,
Terry Cochran, Irish winger. Cochran, I think Dave spoke highly of him a few couple of years ago.
Yeah, from inside his own half, that's Bristol Rovers. Got a few from Stephen Hook. Dick Tideman versus Bournemouth at home late in the 74-75 season. Gavin Peacock overhead at Southend away a few days after his father was sacked. Russell Musker in one of my top two Jules games, the 5-3 versus Brentford in the 84 FA Cup.
Before our time, isn't it? But, oh, the 5-3 was, I think, where we come from 3-1 down, and that set up the game for Everton.
Yeah, I think he mentions that later on, or someone else does. Also, Terry Cochran's chip from just over the halfway line against Bristol Rovers. Brian Law's 35-yard own goal from just over the halfway line against Burnley.
Hey,
that's what it says.
35-yard own goal.
35-yard own goal from just over the halfway line.
Takes some doing.
Yeah. And he's got a few more. Bruce's goal away at Blackburn in 1980. He waltzed around them all, although the Jules lost. David Smith against Swindon in the playoffs. Carl Elsie in the second leg of the playoff tie.
Elsie Rocky, I think, was born that day, wasn't he?
And that was his first ever Jules. Oh, my first ever Jules away goal, Peter Feely at Cholton, 74-75 season.
Some names there, I don't even recognise. Must have been, but fair play, it's good to hear him.
Pete Rogers, Hesse's late goal at Stoke in playoffs. Bob Taylor's second half treble against Bristol City.
That was brilliant. He wasn't even fit, and I think he hit a free kick from inside to out. It basically went the wrong way. And yeah, I think he came off after an hour and he was as close to tour I've seen a player for Jules be, just unplayable. Yeah. Absolutely unplayable. It's a joke.
Pete Rogers also mentions Super Bob Taylor against Fulham, as others have done. Craig Stevens, Curtis Weston against Shrewsbury at home. Absolute rockets. Can't remember too much about that one.
That sticks in my head, that one, yeah. Weston used to do that quite a bit.
One against the Owls stood out for me. Mark Sutton, Damian Richardson against Crystal Palace, Boxing Day, 71. Picked up the ball on the left wing, beat about five players, taking the ball all the way across to the far right of the penalty area, turned and whacked the ball into the opposite corner of the goal from 20 yards. Unfortunately, no video in them days, he adds. Michael Bolton, Dean McDonald versus Chesterfield.
Yeah, that's up there for me.
The win game after being 1-0 down, going into injury time.
Michael Bolton. The 80s superstar.
Yeah.
Dean McDonald's in my top three. I love that.
Alan Crowder, Neil Smith's celebration when he scored at Coventry in the League Cup, and Joe Dunn when he scored his first ever Jules goal, first ever goal for Jules at Walsall, he believes. Surfboarded into the away fans behind the goal, a legend if there ever was one. Our old mate Gary Myerscough, who's managed to keep it clean for this segment.
Whole episode, yeah. Well done.
Away to Ipswich, ended up losing 2-1 but took on Norwich supporting mate, nearly strangled him while celebrating, no idea who scored, didn't care.
And we lost, fair play.
Also versus Peterborough when Bailey Cargill scored an injury time equaliser.
Was standing
at my Peterborough supporting mate's house, cue awkward silences from him and various descriptions from me. Rachel Bradley, has to be Hesse's goal at Stoke away in the playoffs.
That's an absolute bomb.
John Friday, who's got a few. Ken Price's late screamer versus Shrewsbury in 79. He added another for a 2-0 win. And Tony Funnell scored a bicycle kick versus Exeter up the Rainer men, 79-80. Vinnie O'Connell, King versus Millwall away 2001, which which was the first Jules game, and Bartram vs Charlton away 2010.
Yeah, got it.
Andrew Hullen, Bradley Dax slash, I don't know if this is two different ones, Bradley Dax, Harry Lennon's winner at home to Scunthorpe and Justin Edinburgh.
Oh, I've got that, yes. It was, I don't think it was... Yeah, that was the game, because I've listed
last
that.
Last minute winner to Swipe in 10 versus 12.
That was it. Do you remember the game Josh Wright got sent off and on the halfway line? It was never a foul, and we was 1-0, and I think Doug Loft put in a free kick and Dackie got something on it, and I think Lennon fell over and sort of chested it in from about half a yard, and the whole place went off that evening,
Andrew adds, it's the only time where he's been pulled into the next row. So, good limbs there.
Yeah, it's trickier now, isn't it, with seats. I think when it was the old rain, I mean, you used to end up moving around a lot more.
When, like, Dom and that put their pictures online of them, like, falling over each other, I just think that looks so painful to me.
We had one or two, didn't we?
They seem to like it, and they're a bit younger than us.
There was one or two when we were up at our season tickets where... You'd gone, and then at one point I'd gone, and my shorts had gone.
Scunthorpe, that was one of mine.
Yeah, Scunthorpe's
actually Josh Wright's actually the last one. Was absolute bedlam afterwards. That was just nuts.
Yeah, that was something else. I think that's covered later on, but we get to that. Nigel Byatt, Captain Bluebeard, who we've met today.
We did.
Met a few.
Good, Nigel.
True Britannia. Very good. Hopefully we get more of them organised throughout the season.
Yeah, it's about 12, isn't it?
I say you, us get more organised. Nigel organised that. Fair play to
him. Yeah, we didn't do anything.
So we just turned up. Adds Carl Saba versus Luton, 98-99.
I know that one.
Bloody thing hung in the air for a month.
That was a game that was nearly called off because it was absolutely belting it down for the whole day, and their keeper, for some reason, decided to run about 70 yards to the touchline near the halfway line, and Saab's got there just before and stood up and chipped it in from there. And that's, it took ages to go in. I think everything went in slow motion. Really good goal.
Lawrence Hart, Hesse goal at Stoke, because that was the playoff one.
Yeah, watch it.
David Pope, Leo Fortune West with a volleyed winner in the 86th minute against Plymouth in front of the rain event. I think it was 97-98, acute absolute chaos and a massive surge down the terrace. Good times.
I used to go with David, hope you're well, pal, if you're listening. And a better one that he might have forgot as well is the Kevin Lisby one the season after, when he scored in the last minute and we beat Bournemouth on Sky. And we was about two rows from the back of the old rain event at the time, and by the time we finished celebrating, we was both pretty much hanging over the front wall. And he got up and we left the ground and he went, "Where the fuck's my shirt?" To this day, I don't think we ever found it. It just disappeared.
Return the shirt. Return David's
hashtag
shirt.
Return the shirt.
Yeah. Adrian Smith, Young, Eels and Baker goals against Halifax Town, 92-93.
That was the relegation.
Celebrated with a pitch invasion and the mighty Jills were keeping their league status. Chris Yates has gone for a Hessen Tyler double. Andy Hessenthaler in the 2000 playoff semi-final first leg.
Stoke again, isn't it?
Yeah, and also Hessenthaler Jr. Jake is 40-yarder against
Coventry. Yeah, of course, the Beckham-esque one, yeah.
Yeah, that was his first goal for the club as well, wasn't it?
It was, and his best one. Fair enough, he's had a standard pretty old
Matty Millen, one goal in recent seasons was 17-18, and it was Mark Byrne's second goal, the screamer of a body against
Bristol Rovers.
You caught that on Matchday Live, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, and then deleted the vlog by mistake, so all I've got now is the little short video I celebrated.
Oh, that was a good day, that.
Here we go.
Dave Gay had too much to choose from, but he said it might have been one of Alan Wilkes' solo efforts back in the day. Mark Denning smudges Daisy Cutter versus Plymouth in 98 in the last minute.
That was the away
game.
We had to win to stay and take it to the last day, and then we ended up drawing 0-0 with Wigan and missed out on goal difference.
And then the last one on Facebook is from yourself, Matt Brucey, and you've put a few there.
Yeah.
You've got the one that I think you've just mentioned, Kevin Lisby versus Bournemouth, 98-99. We got the infamous FA Cup goal, Nicky Southall versus Sheffield Wednesday.
Belter.
Guy Butters versus Stockport.
Yeah, I put that in because of the fact that it was our first ever goal in the Championship, and that was the opening day of the season, and he scored a... He used to just put his laces through free kicks. There was no sort of technical or science to Guy's free kicks. It was just have a run up and clump the thing as hard as he could. And that put us 1-0 up after 3 minutes. We lost the game 3-1, but yeah, always stuck in my mind. It was our first goal in the Championship.
Bradley Dack versus Tranmere, 2013-14.
Goal that effectively kept us up. Really good volley. Second half, whipped it in the far corner. He'd just come off the bench. He was only young, and that was a really good strike.
I remember that one, to be honest. What else have you got?
I think I've mentioned, some others have mentioned.
Yeah, you mentioned Harry Lennon. Harry Lennon versus Scunthorpe, Josh Wright versus Scunthorpe.
Done, yeah.
Cody McDonald versus Orion.
2014-15, we'd not won at home for 2 months, had we? And we were down to 10 men. Michael Doughty had been sent off, and then he slapped in an half volley from about 4 yards in the last minute from a Brennan Dickinson corner. That's the day I nearly broke the seat in a raid of it.
And then two absolute belters, both against Pompey. First, Connor Wilkinson with an unbelievable goal, and I think that was only bettered by Mr. Tommy's from last season.
The first one, Conor Wilkinson's the game at Bosmies, because apparently he broke his ankle.
It was.
Did you break your ankle that week?
Did I?
Did you? I don't know.
I've lost track.
You never mention it. obviously, the Eves ones, absolute scandalous. That's not up for like league goal of the year or anything like that.
Ridiculous.
Or shortlist.
It's absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Stupid. Grow up.
EFL, grow up.
Grow up, EFL. Elliot List has been mentioned, and the last one you put down is another one we captured live at the time, Luke O'Neill versus Luton.
Oh, that was belt off. That was, and the, yeah, there was some quality limbs after that too. Yeah. I mean, the Eves one was good enough, but yeah. And we were good that day as well. It weren't like we'd smash and raid or anything like that. We deserved at least a point. Boz, yours?
I was mentioning Dean McDonald. He's up there for me. That was, we were all for that game. Kevin Ellison was winding the fans up. Yeah, Dean McDonald, 90 minutes. That was good.
Two different ones. Team.
Yeah, Kevin Ellison.
Yeah, you said Dean McDonald.
Yeah.
You mean
Kevin Ellison was playing for Chesterfield
that
day? Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of the first day. Yeah, the fans up.
That was the first day that he came to my attention.
Is Kevin Ellison that's still playing now? He's about 43, isn't he?
Still going strong.
Fair play.
There's one a bit out there. Cody against, I think it was Walsall. It was a scissor kick.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, he named that as his best ever goal on that recent Kent Online podcast, in fairness to him. Yeah,
but
ovary kick.
Probably my number one is Dion Burton against Rotherham when it was a league winning season. It wasn't the one that guaranteed the league or promotion. No, the one at home.
Huh?
No, the one at home.
Oh, the one at home, sorry.
And we were still two or three wins away from winning the title, but that was the day I thought, yeah, we've done it now.
Really believe. Yeah.
Whatever happened to their manager that day,
eh? Yeah.
Just
you, what about you?
We got a few more to mention on Twitter, so we'll get to that in a bit. But mine, one of the ones that stick out for me is one of my first away games. Away at the New Den to Millwall, 90th minute, Kevin James curls in an absolute screamer to give us a 2-1 win. So that one was great. The goals against Charlton in the FA Cup, first time of a giant kill him.
Yeah.
Jacko's goal against Villa in the FA Cup.
Brilliant strike.
That one for me.
He spun, was it? Is that Friedel, night?
Yeah, it's that night.
And then slapped it past Brad Friedel, yeah.
Yeah, that one's up there for me. I'm sure there's a few more that I can think of when we go through the Twitter ones.
Paul Smith against Stoke when we first started going. He had a crisp volley from outside the air. That was decent.
Bradley Dack against Sheffield United.
Yeah, I forgot that.
No, the one where he won.
And then he scored a belter against some set piece the season after, didn't he?
And then Josh Pass ruined it. The one that he put us 4-0 up. So, yeah, that's just a few of mine. So we've just got Twitter ones to go now. So we'll bring them to you. On to the Twitter ones now. And again, response has been massive. So Joe Collett Cramp suggested a few. Last minute equaliser from Amar at home to Peterborough a couple of years ago. Sparks a mini pitch invasion complete with our players and fans bundled by the corner flag. That was magical, that one actually. Proper scenes for that one. Again, another one to mention, the Hereford, Gavin Tomlin, 5-4 goal. You missed that game, didn't you?
I did.
I remember texting you and struggling to keep up with it all. Again, another one from Joe. One of the weirdest involved, and he's tagged the mate, Chris Ray, falling over a couple of rows when Craig Fagan scored at Leighton Orient. Shame we were 5-0 down at the time.
Oh.
And Chris added, if we'd scored again, we would all have got free pizza. I don't know why, but there you go.
Everyone loves a free pizza. Yeah.
Si Chaplin got to be third, fourth and fifth goals versus Brentford in the FA Cup. We were 3-1 down with 11 minutes to go, set the ties with Everton in the next round. That's what you touched upon. Yeah.
I must have read it somewhere.
Yeah, Louis Watts has got a few. 2003-04 season, Jules at home against Millwall. We were losing 2-3 of 80 minutes gone. Against the run of play, Marlon King scores an equaliser. The game looked settled until Nyron Nosworth, he popped in the winner. I think he lobbed the keeper, didn't he? And it kind of.
He was playing like a winger that time,
didn't he? Didn't he, Nyron? Play wherever you wanted him to. What a lad.
fine. Cy Chaplin, Terry
Cochran.
What?
That guy's about Chris Benoit looking like in the
Chris
car.
Benoit. Oh, Chris Benoit on the face app.
We're outside HQ again now, by the way.
You're still in the car. Still sat in the car.
Very hot. Cy Chaplin, Terry Cochran's golf from just outside Strood Station, first Bristol
that
Rovers.
Must be the halfway line.
Yeah, maybe just a slight exaggeration as to how far out it was. Chris Benjamin has put a few recent ones. Shrewsbury away winner to make it 3-2 in last minute from 2-0 down.
Was it Amar?
I think that was Amar. Jet
had slapped one in from about 30 yards in that game
two
as well.
Two of them like that,
didn't and then Amar scored in the last couple of minutes, didn't he, from a corner?
One that we always come back to, even though we weren't there, because of you. Cody beating men and blasting second versus Bristol Rovers en route to a 3-1
win. Why'd
you
get married? Jesus.
Yeah, selfish bastard.
Selfish.
We had an alright weekend.
We had a good weekend.
Another one that mentions Dee McDonald scoring the injury time winner against Chesterfield, which you mentioned was in your top three, Boz.
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least twice. A
few more from Louis Watts. Jules playing Norwich at home. Jules leading 2-0 at half time, scored two quick goals in the second half. Fourth being an iffy and or a hat trick. The Jules were then on the back foot, and was hanging on for dear life as Norwich pulled it back to 4-3 and could have scored a hell of a lot more. Dan Barden, another one that mentioned the Hesse strike against Stoke, and also mentioned Jet away at Shrewsbury when we come from behind to win, and also mentions there were a few Bob Taylor goals along the way. Ben Horn, he's put a YouTube link in for that, so
which one is it?
I don't know. Talk amongst yourselves.
Is it the Bob Taylor? I think it's the Bob Taylor one again.
Jake's goal. So Ben Horn. Oh, Christ, can't get, there we go. Ben Horn said, can't think of one better than this, which was Hessen Tyler's goal, and also mentions Cody McDonald versus Wolves.
Yeah, that was a good one. We've already seen that one done, haven't we?
A
popular choice.
More Liam Stanley, Tommy's at Pompey.
Right.
Simon Day, Paul Smith at Preston in Championship days. Last minute equaliser after we'd done absolutely nothing called game and played off the park, and they've missed about 30 chances. Wild celebration mixed with laughter and a bit of embarrassment.
Love a little smash and grab.
David Easom, or Essam, however it's pronounced. Bob Taylor versus Fulham, limbs everywhere. Chris Willis also went with Dion Burton against Morecambe. That touch and finish last minute was the first moment I believe we could win the league.
So the one you just said as well?
Mine was against Rotherham, but I know which one he's on about. Oh,
yeah,
very similar to Morecambe.
Yeah, he just brings the ball under his spell.
Morecambe was a bit earlier in the season.
Next to Evan Taylor, we've had Cody Mack first Bristol Rovers, or Wrighty's third penalty versus Scunny. David Miles, Chris Dixon versus Bristol Rovers to complete a comeback at home, which was 2007. Iffy away at Coventry, beating Magnus Hedman from 40 plus yards. Southall in the FA Cup, and Mulligan at Bournemouth for a last gasp win or draw.
First game of the season, I think that one was.
Chris Willis also mentions Jackson versus Luton, followed 4 days later by Southall at Millwall. Superb scenes. Louis Hart, for him, Cody McDonald versus Bristol Rovers and versus Wolves, absolute carnage. Russell Cox, Super Bob's last minute winner versus Fulham.
Yep, that was one of my favourites.
John Elliott, Nicky Southall against Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup, still the best goal I've witnessed live. The two goals at Highbury were both special as well.
There's a few that have been repeated a lot, haven't there?
Yeah,
so you could probably do like a top 10 from all them, which is really good. It does bring back some good memories.
Absolute belters there. Shay Wilson, no question the unbridled joy and emotion in the rain amend beats any Jules celebration when Super Bob Taylor's header won us the game against Fulham. Steve Brackley, Bob Taylor away at Preston in the playoffs.
I was there for that game, yep.
Ollie, I'm not sure his surname, Ollie M.
Gunnar Solskjaer.
07. Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer. I think he lives up that way as well. Could be the real Ollie. Must be saying about playing to crew, but both Chris Dixon, Van Basten-esque, or Rory Donnelly last minute winner.
Oh, Donnelly's goal's great.
Always
comes
to mind.
In
a far corner, yeah.
The scenes when Rory scored are some of the best I remember at an away day. Dean Rice again, Super Bob plus Fulham all day. Italian Jill, J. Emmanuel Thomas getting a last minute winner in a 2-1 home win over Northampton in the 2016-17 season. superb curls finishing to the bottom corner, and I remember going mental at the time. Yeah, I think that was one of the only things he'd done in that game, if I remember rightly. Just along the floor, a bit of a daisy cutter.
Yes,
he's cut
right
inside. Yeah, that's what Jet could do though on his day.
Yeah, and in terms of ability, we never had an issue with that, did it? It was just the application weren't quite always there.
Ella Clayton, Cody McDonald's double against Rotherham, making final score 3-1. First time I sat in the rain, and just went mental. Matthew McKenzie mentions Villa in the cup as well when Simeon Jackson scored, and he stopped celebrating. He thought he was going to pass out. Ian Champ, Simon Ratcliffe equaliser at home to Coventry in the League Cup.
That was that same season as we then won the replay when Ipswich scored.
This was one you mentioned as well, wasn't it? Kevin Lisby in last minute at home to Bournemouth.
Yeah, that's the one that Rachel was talking about earlier in the pub as well. He just stood there and didn't really know what to do. Put his finger up and stood in front of the railing.
And also mentions Mark Saunders' last minute winner at Ipswich to win 4-3.
That was your first away
game,
wasn't it?
First away game, yeah.
Who'd you go with?
Spud.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Do you remember Spud?
Yeah, I
big knife.
What was he called, Spud?
No idea. He's a big lanky geezer.
I can't remember, actually. Weird one. Brian Draper, LC Rocket vs Swindon away in the playoffs to go 2-0 on aggregate. Jamie Manton, what did he write? Hang on. Dax driving to the top corner to seal a 4-0 win on the opening day.
That's what you said, wasn't it?
And more recently, Josh Wright's brace at Bramall Lane to secure a 2-2 draw. Mentions it was against the side that at the time were flying at the top of the league and went on to win the division.
It was just after Pennant took over, wasn't it? We had a habit of like drawing loads of games. I think we only lost two of his first nine, but only won one. Yeah, we drew there and we drew at Bradford, I think, the week after.
Also mentions Kedwell and Cody's goals in our 2-1 win victory at Bramall Lane and McGlashan's late goal in our 2-0 victory in 2015.
Seeing someone that's not been mentioned, it's just come up, Bramall Lane, 2014-15, Luke Norris.
Oh, that was a better as well.
That was almost like the Tommy's one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
One touch to flick it over the defender and then larruped it in left footed. Of course, that's not come up. That was an absolute better. We still lost, but...
Neil Bryan, if his goal versus Chelsea in the FA Cup to make it 3-2, the comeback seemed on and the roof of the Rainham End came off.
Yeah, that day, we were 3-0 down after about 20 minutes and then we absolutely terrified them second half. I think Shaw got the first.
Michael Cannon, Tomo away at Sheffield United confirming our first away win in the Championship. Smith last minute away at Plymouth in 98 and Sidibe away at Rotherham in a 3-1 win in 2005.
Big Mama's house.
Big Mama. And the last one on Twitter from Chris Bray. The closest to a near-death experience was at Walsall after Jet Max's winner. I jumped headfirst onto the nearest person, which was Peter Brudnell, who is tagged in the tweet. Then we were both bundled on and I got my neck stuck in between two seats, just about wrestled myself free and continued the celebrations.
That's the one. Was that the Jet free kick that hit Amar in his stomach and wrong footed the keeper a couple of years ago? I'm sure it was.
What a celebration.
Yeah,
get yourself stuck. Yeah, it's
nearly
danger.
Beheadedments, is that the right word?
I don't think that's a word.
Is it?
Beheadedments. Just beheaded.
Things are making up words.
Chopped it off.
So yeah, thanks for everyone that got involved with that. Absolutely loads. Probably hard to pick a
favourite. Imagine I'm going to be looking through YouTube in the next couple of weeks and trying to find some of them.
Yeah, hopefully get on the YouTube, find some of them and enjoy.
Yes.
Thanks for everyone that's got involved with that. We really enjoyed speaking about that this week. Name in the frame. Buzz, how much did you breathe a sigh of relief?
Oh, I was absolutely relieved. I mean, I was ready to go and buy a new frame after smashing our current frame.
Tommy Johnson didn't quite win it.
Up the Johnson.
Up the Johnson. Who was that chose? That was chose by Mark Spencer.
Yeah, it would be him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. Who got? So Tommy Johnson got 35%, but the winner this week, Gary.
Ginger. Mulligan.
Gary Myerscough. With the choice.
With Gary and Gary.
With Gary Mulligan, so with Gary 43%. Double. So we'll be getting that up on the wall in the next few days.
Yep, I'm going to my mum's tomorrow, so I won't be able to do it. I won't be able to print one off.
Well, has your mum got a picture of Gary Mulligan?
Brilliant, no, I've got a printer around
here. Oh, right. I thought that's what you meant.
Does your mum know Gary Mulligan?
Probably.
So that's it from this week from us. We'll be back next weekend with more nonsense as normal. Check out the YouTube page Jewels in the Bloods because we got the match day live from Charlton today. We'll be recording for Millwall tomorrow and Mr. Matt, you've done a video the other day in regards to potential striker replacements,
which
we discussed earlier.
Yeah, some good options on there if the rumours are true, I think. So watch this space, I think, is all we can do at the moment.
How do you want to end this week? Do you want to have a rant about anything?
I'm quite happy today. We've just beaten Charlton 3-1, so I'm in a good mood. Yeah. We're going to go home.
We're going to go and have a few drinks.
And Boz has got to go work.
Rachel Bradley at her gig tonight.
You can do that.
What?
I thought you said assault her.
You get drunk.
No, support her.
Oh, support her.
Support her. I'm not going to assault her.
We'll leave it there.
Yeah, just at the gig, 9 p.m. the cricketers. As usual, get following the Twitter page, retweets, liking, signing up to our membership form. Yeah, donating blood, whatever you need to do. What else do you normally say? Instagram?
I don't know if I've ever asked anyone to donate blood. I think it's just Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And then we say, until next time, up the Jills.